maybe one of the most important equations in physics. Of course, there are other the most important equations, but this is for sure one of them, which is called Dirac equation. I'm sure you heard and you know about that. So and this is, I will follow quite closely to chapter 3-2 in the text, Peshkin and Schroeder. Okay, why is this equation so important? You know, apparently, but I will repeat that this equation describes relativistic, first of all, particles like Klein-Gordon equation we already considered. And it's connected, of course, with Klein-Gordon, but this equation describes particle, elementary particle with spin 1/2. So this is inner angular momentum of this particle has 1/2 in standard quantum mechanical units. It's important that particles which are extremely important in our life, they actually exactly have spin 1/2. First of all, electron, and then proton, neutron, the most important particles for nuclear physics. On the other hand, as I said, pion, which is also quite important in dynamics of strong interaction, has spin 0. Moreover, quarks and all elementary leptons, all of them have a spin 1/2. So, you know, the last Nobel Prize was given to three people, Nambu, Kobayashi, Maskawa, all of them connected with Japan. And actually, I know quite well all of them, especially Nambu. And they studied what is called now standard model, and the major players in the standard models are three families of quarks and leptons. So first family, this is up and down quark, and two leptons, electron and neutrino, electronic neutrino. And all of them have spin 1/2. Then second family, this is what people call now strange charm quark and strange quark, two quarks with spin 1/2, all of them. And then two leptons muon, which 200 times approximately heavier than electron. And another neutrino, which is called muonic neutrino. And third family, this is top quark, bottom quark, they're the heaviest, especially top quark. Top quark is approximately 170 times heavier than hydrogen atom. Would you imagine? It's so heavy. And we have again two leptons, and this is tau lepton, which is quite heavy. This is it's heavier than proton, and nu neutrino, which is called tau neutrino. So all of them described by Dirac equation, and still many things connected with those particles are mystery. Okay, so no doubt that it's very important equation. Now, It's interesting also from historical point of view. It's also example of a great discovery which was done by starting with a kind of wrong idea. Sometimes it happens. So when Dirac started to look for new relativistic equation which describes particles, first of all, at that time, what was known, it was known essentially two elementary particles, electron and proton, no neutron even at that time. Neutron was discovered later. And he was very unhappy with Klein-Gordon equation, because we already know with you that Klein-Gordon equation gives us solution with positive energy and negative energy. Inevitable, we have both of them. We have solution, energy is plus, minus, and the square root we wrote many times. And he was unhappy with negative solution. So he wanted new equation which would be better and which would produce only solution with positive energy, like non-relativistic quantum mechanics deals with, right? When you describe electron in non-relativistic quantum mechanics, for example, you just have certainly positive energy. That's it. So he wanted only positive. So his approach was to get a kind of square root of the Klein-Gordon operator and to get linear equation like Klein-Gordon, but first order. And he saw, if I get equation like Schrodinger equation with just first derivative in time, I get only positive. And that's it. Instead, he got much more. So it's wrong. You cannot do this. Now we know. Actually, he had this idea to the very end of his life. He wanted to get it somehow. But now we know that if we have Lorentz invariant theory with what is called local equation, this equation for which causality, microcausality is satisfied, we little bit discussed with this commutator with you, then it's inevitable that you have always plus minus, positive and negative. It's just impossible. Instead, Dirac discovered equation which automatically describes spin of electron, which is wrong for Klein-Gordon. People introduced by hand some term describing spin when they try to apply Klein-Gordon to describe relativistic electron. And moreover, eventually he realized in very non-trivial ways that those negative solution with negative energy describe new particle. And this particle is positive, anti-particle of electron. And this apparently was complete breakthrough, because people didn't want new particles. All physicists in their deeply, they're conservative. Almost all. No, not almost. And they didn't want to introduce new particles. But this equation just led. No choice. You have new particle. And it was discovered, I believe, 5-6 years around there after. Many people still did not believe after this. When Dirac this recognized, Pauli wrote famous review, and in the end he wrote that this equation is in trouble. It seems bad. It's published. It was published. Okay. Now, so main when he. Of course, I cannot follow all his steps, how he came to this discovery, Dirac, I mean. Okay, main idea is to get a first order equation. And partial differential equation, PDE. And he quickly recognized that to get square root of Klein-Gordon, one should use actually, you should get a system of equation, not just one equation of first order, but actually system of those equation. And then in this system, you have Dirac gamma matrices. We will see how they work. So you have those matrices. This is anti-commutator. So this is this. So this is we will use many times. Commutator, this is square brackets, and when this is for anti-commutator. And this is 2 g mu nu. And we will consider mu nu. This is our Lorentz indices. Okay. So how, let's show how it works. Dirac equation. He got is this, has this form. Okay, this is mass of this particle. This is usual derivatives and gamma mu. So gamma mu n times n in general case matrices. He did not know what is n. Okay, we will find that they should be 4 by 4. And it comes almost automatically in the case of massive particle. You cannot get, as always, he wanted to get when he recognized the smallest dimension for those matrices. But he again recognized that the smallest is n equal 4. You cannot take n3 or n2, so n4. They satisfy this equation. And let us show that at least if a function psi satisfies this equation, it satisfies Klein-Gordon equation. Essentially, Klein-Gordon equation we know with u gives nam the value of energy, right? That energy is this square root plus minus. Let's show that psi satisfies the Klein-Gordon equation. Okay, so we have this stuff. Now multiply. Okay, from this we will get by multiplying very similar operator. It's called Dirac operator. This is differential operator. Just I multiply both sides and psi, this is equal 0. So I multiply this equation, both sides, but this is 0, still 0, by this operator. Okay. Now, what I have is this. I have four terms, of course, when I open this parenthesis, and I have gamma mu, gamma nu, d nu, d mu, plus I m gamma mu, d mu. Minus I m. Plus, actually, this is, let me be careful. It doesn't matter, but I want to be precise. D mu term. And the fourth one is the simplest, plus m squared. Psi equals 0. Okay, we could cancel this term and this term. So we have just two terms. Right now, idea is to rewrite this guy as 1/2 gamma mu gamma nu plus gamma nu gamma mu d nu d mu. Point is that this operator is symmetric in nu and mu, so only symmetric part of this product gamma nu gives contribution. So I put in this way, plus m square. Okay, right, plus m square psi equal 0. But now we can use for this anti-commutator what actually Dirac recognized in order to get Klein-Gordon, when you have a kind of square of this operator. This is how he came. So this 1/2 gives me g mu nu. But this is Klein-Gordon equation. Okay, let me put it up so you can see now. So we derived quite easily that because of that anti-commutator, we postulate this relation, we get Klein-Gordon equation. Psi, which satisfies this Dirac equation, satisfy Klein-Gordon equation. Moreover, of course, again, I don't follow historical approach of Dirac. So certainly it's relativistic particle, for sure. And somehow there should be some representation of the Lorentz group for this particle. Lorentz algebra for Dirac particle. Okay. Point is, take S mu nu, its definition, I over 4, and this commutator now between gamma mu and gamma nu. Okay, let me put this number, say 1, in order to refer this first equation, this commutator. So let me say 1, right? Now, by repeating or by using equation 1, and this is this equation and a commutator, one can check. You can do this. That S mu nu satisfy the same commutation relations as generators G mu nu. We wrote many times, so this guy, right? X mu d mu minus x mu d mu. Okay, so it means when we have same relation that they could be generators connected with some representation of the Lorentz group. Right.
Question one is a definition.
Definition of what? Yeah, sure. He just should define. He introduced them. Right. And he found before discovering explicit their form that in order to reproduce Klein-Gordon equation, you should have this this right. Mm-hmm. Please.
You took the Dirac equation and instead you have, so you have a minus m there, right? If you wrote a new equation and instead of a minus m, you wrote a plus m.
Right.
Then that psi would also satisfy the Klein-Gordon equation.
Right. Right.
How do you know which one of those two to use?
They're equivalent. Okay. So there is some unitary operation which it's connected with some chiral gamma phi matrices, which you could, sine of m doesn't matter here. Okay, no new physics. So it's just equivalent equation, that's it. So this is answer to your question. Yes.
So why do we care if it satisfies the Klein-Gordon equation? Because this is a completely different particle.
Right.
So the Klein-Gordon equation is motivated from the fact that we want energy and momentum to obey the dispersion relation.
Right.
But we don't necessarily have to identify these derivatives as energy and momentum anymore in the Dirac field, right?
No, he wanted this because already in non-relativistic quantum mechanics, people knew that those derivatives connected with energy and momentum, right? So he wanted, and it's still actually valid in relativistic physics. He also wanted to get right dispersion relation between energy and momentum. You see, but he certainly assumed. You see, all physicists, even the most, I believe, daring of them, they're conservative. They don't want to change immediately everything because nobody will believe you if you change everything, right? So he still kept that usual relation between derivative and energy momentum valid, and it's actually correct, you see. So we keep this, and because they satisfy Klein-Gordon equation, repeating what we did before, we know that energy of this particle is this energy is could be plus minus. He wanted to plus first only. So from this viewpoint, he wanted this because it's part of special relativity and he didn't want to change this. Mm-hmm. Right.
So when we discussed the Klein-Gordon quantum field, we said that whenever we have a quantum field theory, we have a representation of the Lorentz algebra.
Right. I will. Right.
But here we are still in a theory where I believe that equation represents actually a wave function and not an operator. It's not a field theory.
Okay, right. He started from there, Dirac. For us in this course, it's actually quantum field theory, new quantum field theory. But for Dirac, it's true. He wanted to get equation which would play the role of Schrödinger equation. And actually, Klein Gordon say they did not care about quantum field theory because it did not exist at that time when they came to this equation. Actually, the first guy who came to the Klein Gordon was Schrödinger. Before he discovered his equation, non-relativistic, he actually had this relativistic. But it did not work properly for the spectrum of hydrogen atom. So, yes, but point is that the question whether it's wave, classical function, or field operator concerning Lorentz representation of Lorentz algebra, it's still the same. We should consider representation of the Lorentz algebra, either for operator or for wave function.
So it just matters whether it's a relativistic theory or not.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. So we still believe in special relativity. Because of that, we believe in Lorentz algebra. So we should get this representation. Okay, now when I describe representations of the Lorentz group or algebra, but group. What I said that in general case we have representation something like this, psi x under transformation going, I wrote M some matrix in general case acting on this psi. So there should be component, right, in general case. And we have, actually, as I said, so now n equal 4, right? So let's consider, we will get this explicit form. But it's more than one component. So we have this matrix. But also, of course, we have transformation of the argument as before. But new thing is this, right, in general case. In the case of Klein-Gordon, no need, because we have only one component, right? So this component could go only to itself. But now, because we have n component, right, in general case, we should have this representation. And let me write that in our case, this M is actually, I will following Peshkin write like lambda 1/2, which is of course connected with spin, just keep uses not. And we will see, not we'll see, this operator M is in the standard form, which we used many times for J mu nu, is expressed through those guy S mu nu. Okay? So we have this S mu nu also generators because they satisfy the same commutation relation as our old friends generators, which are responsible for this transformation of the argument. So they are generators, but generators which change the form of our function. They act on those n components. This is matrix, finite matrix, n times n, and it acts on n-dimensional vector, if you want. In the case of spin 1/2, people say spinor. So in this case, by the way, we will see this. Our m over n over 2 is this. We have, in this case, reducible representation. In the case of Dirac massive field, and it's composed of two irreducible, 1/2 0, 0, 1/2. I will describe later, of course, this stuff, but just you should already know. Okay, so you see now this transformation of argument is connected with this generator, but transformation of the form and its spin degrees of freedom. So we have those additional components because of new degrees of freedom connected with spin. Actually, in the case of Dirac theory, we have four independent degrees of freedom. This is, we will see, I will tell you answer just in ahead of the discussion. We will get particle with spin up and down, like in non-relativistic quantum mechanics too, but still we have antiparticle. So electron positron in the case of electron, again, spin up and down. So we have four. This is physical meaning, but of course we did not show this. Okay, so we have this stuff.
But you don't see that it is actually the matrix, right?
Yeah, if so, this is certainly matrix, right?
Another index, additional index.
No, it's just index. You see, gamma matrices, this is n times n. In our case, 4, 4. So they have usual index, matrix index.
Yeah, but
and S mu, same index, right? Because it's expressed through gamma mu. And this guy, psi, has n indices. We will come to that. And this is usual stuff. So those guy, lambda, 1/2, has two indices, like any matrix. And it acts on vector with n indices.
But now we cannot see.
No, if we assume that this guy is n-dimensional matrix, n times n, then immediately we know that psi has n, right? Because they act. They cannot act otherwise. And then S mu, again, n times n matrices, right? And this lambda 1/2, which has usual form for Lorentz global generator, again, has n times n. So from this viewpoint, if you assume that this guy, gamma mu, n times n, then automatically you have this situation. But we just did not write explicitly so far. It's still hidden. What matters for us, just algebra. Okay. Now we will use following Peshkin. This is extremely useful, but not unique representation of gamma mu. We will use the chiral or while. This is great mathematicians who played important role also in establishing properties of this equation representation. For gamma mu. It's quite convenient. Okay, so we have gamma zero. One. So it's 4 by 4 matrix. let me write answer, and then gamma I equal 0. This is Pauli matrices I will write now. So I 1 to 3, this is spatial Pauli matrices. And this is 2 by 2 I unit matrix. Now Pauli matrices. Sigma 1 is 0, 1, 1, 0. Sigma 2 is 0 minus I, 0. Sigma 3 is diagonal 1, 0, 0 minus 1. And we have important relation for sigma I, sigma j, anti commutator is nothing else but 2 Kronecker delta ij. So similar in some sense to that anti-commutation relation as for gamma mu. But okay, this is j, right? Right. So we have this property. Then it's easy to check gamma 0. It's Hermitian. So if I take dagger operation, this is complex conjugation plus transposition, we get same. But for those guys, we get minus for spatial. It's easy to check. Because, of course, sigma, all of them are Hermitian. You can see this. This is why I put minus II. So we have this important properties for gamma matrices. Okay, now without proof at this moment at least, then we will see. Concerning other representation, first of all, in the case of four-dimensional world, because people now study Dirac equation in two dimension, for example, this is graphene, for example, very hot topic. Actually, I'm involved in that stuff before graphene even appeared. So you have in two dimension, but also you Dirac equation in two dimension, but also in higher dimension world. Because especially string theories. But even without string, people now think about possibilities that our 3 plus 1 dimensional world is actually subworld of higher. But we will consider only this case. So in the case of 4 dimensional world, when we consider this, what is called Dirac algebra, this equation 1, or sometimes actually more would be fair to say Clifford algebra, because it was discovered by Clifford. So Clifford Dirac algebra, this is 1. So one can show in two dimension all representation of 1, this is Dirac algebra, are unitary equivalent. And the dimension of gamma mu is 4. You see, point is that it's clear why, for example, we cannot dimension 2. 2, we should, you can see that sigma Pauli matrices, it seems good for that. But we should get four, right, which satisfy this Dirac equation. And we should get the fourth one, which anti-commutes, because this relation, like that one, means that when we have two different, they anti-commutes, all of them, with each other. There is no fourth 2x2 matrix which anti-commutes with 3, sigma 1, sigma 2, sigma 3. They are anti-commutes with each other, but no fourth one. And so on. So this dimension is 4. Now let's consider how our sigma mu nu generators look in this representation. So we have this sigma mu, right? So how it they look, these generators. So now Lorentz generators S mu nu. It's, of course, now very easy to calculate because they are expressed through gamma mu, gamma nu, and they are written here, right? So gamma zero, gamma I, so we can easily, so we have S zero I, which is this commutator gamma zero and gamma I, and this block diagonal. It's this minus I2, sigma I, 0, 0, sigma I with minus. Right, okay, let me write. Okay, now note important thing that this guy, S, O, I, is anti-Hermitian, not Hermitian. If you take Hermitian conjugation, you will get minus. It's easy to check, right? Because those guys Hermitian, but you have I. So it's connected, of course, with the point we discussed that boost, they are not connected with unitary operators, global boost, for finite representation, right? So it's not Hermitian. Because of that, this operator connected with global boost, because this non-Hermitian, this guy is not unitary. On the other hand, everything is usual in the case of rotation. S, I, J, let's find and this is this. And we will use this notation. This is 1/2. Epsilon I J K and sigma K. So sigma K, sigma capital K is this 4x4, sigma K, and epsilon, of course, epsilon 1, 2, 3 is 1, and it's odd under any permutation of indices. Okay, they look actually nice because essentially this sigma capital K, this matrix, it's doubling of usual representation in non-relativistic quantum mechanics of rotational group for spin 1/2, right? We use three Pauli matrices, 2 by 2, to describe spin up and down. Now we have doubling because, as I said, we have 4 degrees of freedom. We have spin. So it's quite simple from this viewpoint, very natural, not simple, it's better to say. And they are Hermitian. It's easy because they are expressed through sigma, no I. So it's okay. This is quite important. Okay, so let me write here maybe, or I could write here. Psi is called, it's transformed under those generators expressed through our S, is called Dirac spinor. It's again not so surprising because you see it's generalization of usual spinor. In non-relativistic quantum mechanics, spinor which describes spin. But now we have, so it's called Dirac spinor. Because of this property, as I said, this representation is not unitary because it's if I just considering. But we will see it's not big deal. Like in the case of Klein-Gordon, the problem will be resolved. Actually, it's true that this guy field will be transformed under some, you can say, non-unitary transformation, but concerning representation in space of our states, Fock space, what we call P, K, everything will be okay, like in the case of Klein-Gordon. Now, next important step we will do with you, okay, we wrote this, we believe that apparently this equation fine, but now we should really show that this equation is Lorentz invariant, like we showed for Klein-Gordon equation. So now we should let us show that this equation is Lorentz invariant. Let's do this. Now let me first of all show explicitly that indeed transformation generator, this is I just said in ahead that I will show later, generators lambda 1/2 has this form. Okay. Now you can verify first that this we will need some property in order to show that rho sigma, this commutator between gamma mu and that S is this J4 rho sigma nu gamma nu. And J4 is our friend. We wrote this. This is in four-dimensional representation. For usual four-dimensional vector, we wrote this generator is I delta mu alpha delta nu, maybe first actually class, minus g mu beta g nu alpha. So you can just do this by yourself. This is J4, and I wrote this up. Okay, what does it mean here? Just we will show that it implies some very interesting properties of gamma mu. So, but now we derive this. Or equivalently, so this relation can be rewrite as this one. One plus I over two omega rho sigma S rho sigma gamma mu, and here we have one minus I two omega rho sigma omega rho sigma S rho sigma, right, S rho sigma equal this first term, 1 minus I over 2 omega rho sigma. Then we have this our J4, J4 rho sigma. We have mu nu gamma nu plus terms of higher order in omega. So linear term and one has this form. What does it mean? It is infinitesimal form of the relation lambda minus one, one half gamma mu lambda one half equal lambda mu nu gamma nu, and lambda one half is this exponent minus one half omega mu nu s mu nu. Okay, indeed. First of all, if you considering Taylor expansion of this exponent, we have for lambda one half, which is here, this form, right? This minus this term, right? This is first of all. Now, because I got J4 rho sigma here, one can say that under this matrix Lorentz transformation, my gamma mu transform as usual four-dimensional vector. So mu has this lambda mu nu, our old friends we used for transformation of X. So under this matrix transformation, this is important. Under matrix transformation, gamma mu transform S for vector. Why it's good? Okay, point is that look at our equation. Now we should expect that everything will be fine. Look here. We have contraction of these indices, gamma mu, d mu. This is certainly usual for vector. When we have contraction, we can expect that we will get scalar. And I will show this. But it's connected with these crucial properties of this stuff. Let us show now, we have everything to prove Lorentz invariant, Lorentz invariance of Dirac equation. I now start to show. Okay, go. Now we start from our equation. Now Lorentz transformation. Okay, sorry, equals zero, of course. Now we should prove left. Okay, maybe, sorry, not zero. Let us consider only left-hand side, sorry. We know that it's zero, right? I could write zero here. But let's consider this operator. We know that this guy under we should check that it becomes this stuff. So it becomes this stuff usually. Psi x. On the other hand, this is equal I gamma mu d mu. Just one moment. I will write x here minus m. And here I have lambda 1/2, because we already substitute instead m lambda 1/2 psi lambda, sorry, lambda minus 1x. Okay. This is, so I substitute psi prime x. Now I put here explicitly x. It means that I have different argument, lambda minus 1x, but derivative d mu x. Now just use chain rule, as we did actually, and put in the case of Klein-Gordon, and I put now instead one here this property between this. Now you will see. Just let me write and then better. D mu minus m lambda 1/2 psi lambda minus 1x. Okay, what I put, it will be useful. I put instead 1 in this form, which is 1, of course, still. And now there is no x. what does it mean when I know index here? It means that the following. Okay. D mu psi, when I take psi, say derivative of this, means this without this index, that I take dy psi y and take y equal lambda minus 1x. So I really take now, I take now derivative with respect to the whole this argument with like written here. Okay. Okay, so we have this. Now we can next step take combine lambda 1 gamma mu and lambda 1 half gamma mu from the right, and we could use, it will be important for us, this important relation. So next step is to write like this. I keep lambda 1 half. Now I write this I lambda minus 1, 1 half gamma mu. Now I take lambda 1 half on the left, lambda 1 half. Now d mu. D mu. Yeah, I believe there is something I made mistake, right? So when we use, okay, this is okay.
That's
the second line. Yeah. Right, here is mistake.
Yes.
Okay, let me maybe rewrite this. Just let me. I will rewrite this important. Right, sure. This is, anyway, it's not very convenient for you to write. Right, so, but now we should use a chain rule. Yeah, it was not right. Okay, and then we have this. Yeah, and lambda 1 half psi lambda minus 1 x. Okay, so because of chain rule, I have this factor when this is derivative with respect to the whole factor. So I have this. This is important stuff. Now I will rewrite this in this way, lambda 1 half, and take this I lambda 1 half minus 1 gamma mu, and I take lambda 1 half here, and this is still here, of course, gamma mu d mu minus m, and just psi lambda minus 1 x. Okay, now we can use our relation, right? Our relation for lambda to the minus 1, lambda and gamma mu. Okay. So we have this. Okay. Okay, we have this comma new, right. Okay, and right, just one moment. So I substitute lambda 1/2 I, and instead this, I substitute this lambda mu sigma, this guy, gamma sigma. I can do this. Lambda to the minus 1, we have gamma mu d mu minus m. We are very close to finish. Could you imagine how Dirac was exciting when he checked it? When you are doing first time anything, even small thing, and not sure that, yeah. Okay. And now this is equal, because we use this relation, lambda mu sigma, here, lambda mu sigma, lambda minus 1 mu mu is nothing else but Kronecker delta function, of course. Right, because this is inverse, right? So using this, we have lambda 1/2 I, substitute instead this stuff, delta. So you take this and this. So it delta nu sigma, delta nu sigma, and then gamma sigma d nu minus m psi lambda minus 1 x. And this is, of course, nothing else but lambda 1/2 e gamma nu d nu minus m psi lambda minus 1 x. And this is equal 0, because it's same. We started from this equation, and now we got up to this factor, right? But this factor matrix is just factor. This is same form, like this is Dirac equation, only derivative with respect to y, which is lambda minus 1 x. So this is equal 0, because my function from the very beginning satisfied this equation. That's it. So this means QD. So it's proven. Okay, this actually relation is really crucial. You know, like you cannot remember many things, all things. But this is crucial. If you work with quantum field theory, this relation, which implies something like that, you can say that actually gamma mu transform like vector. This is, it's worth to remember. So it's crucial, we will see, for many things concerning properties of Dirac equation. Maybe one should, maybe we will refer, this is 2, I don't know. But let me put this equation. Okay, so we now got this result, right? That okay, so now next, we derived this. Mm. you remember that in the case of Klein-Gordon equation, it was useful to write action and Lagrange density because it was useful for Noether's theorem. So same is in the case of Dirac equation. So let us consider Lagrangian density or Dirac Lagrangian density, how it looks. Yeah, it's better start from the. Dirac Lagrangian density. We squash. So we now. Of course, Lagrangian density in the case of Lorentz invariant theory, action and Lagrangian density, Lagrangian density should transform as scalar. So now we should create from those spinor fields some scalars. So Lagrangian density. L X is a scalar. It means that in this case M is just one, right? Only X is transformed in this case. Construction. Construction LX from psi and psi dagger, right? So this field actually it's necessarily complex because those transformation include Pauli matrices. And they are complex, right? So we should consider this not real field, but a complex field. Actually, I will show later that one could get a kind of real, but it's not Dirac field, Majorana field, which is important also now in physics, and it's a kind of real. But forget about that at this moment. So we have psi dagger. Now question, is, this is of course I am sure what Dirac first did. Let's consider this combination. So this is of course, if we have, it implies this, say alpha, psi, alpha, right? So we have four components. We're considering now this sum. And as a result of summation, we got some field without a component. So it looks like one component field. Is this guy scalar? Answer is not. Why? Okay, let's consider transformation. Lorentz transformation. we already know transformation of this guy with U, right? Okay, psi goes to lambda 1/2 psi. I will not write explicitly argument. And then psi dagger transform like psi lambda 1/2 dagger. Right? This leads then psi dagger psi transform as to psi dagger lambda 1/2 dagger lambda 1/2 psi. Okay, now we know with you that for rotational transformation, for rotations, or it's better, while for rotations, lambda 1/2 dagger is lambda minus 1/2, it's unitary. We saw this, right? This property is S. Sij are Hermitian, right? So in this case, sorry. In this case, we have indeed psi dagger psi. Would be okay. So, but while for rotations, this right for Lorentz boost. Connected with this S for zero I generators, lambda dagger 1/2 not equal lambda minus 2. It's non-unitary. So we cannot use this combination, simple combination, as part of our Lagrangian density. Let us show that psi bar psi with psi bar defined as psi dagger gamma 0 is a scalar. So this is psi bar field. It's sometimes called Dirac conjugation. Dirac conjugation. You're right.
Please. The important thing is to make it a scalar, but any ways that we can, or just because maybe we can do the trace and then get it.
This is trace. Point is, what it means trace. Trace, it's exactly what we try to do. This is summation alpha alpha. But I showed that it's not. Look. Point is that for boost, this guy is not inverse lambda to the minus 1. So it's not 1. And then it's not scalar. Exactly like that. So in this case, it doesn't work. Of course, I should have traced. I took it. But it still doesn't work. So this guy, of course, means just again some alpha 1. 4, etc. psi bar alpha psi alpha. Again, I take trace, but now I have gamma zero here, and it will work. We will see. Okay, let us now show that psi bar transformed in the correct way. Lambda bar, lambda 1/2 minus 1. What we need. Then, of course, in this case, we will get right answer. So there is not lambda dagger, but exactly lambda to the minus 1. We should show this. Okay, so let's consider transformation, we infinitesimal transformation. Okay. It's enough if we show that it worked in that case, then it will work in. Of psi bar. Okay, it works like that. Psi bar psi bar equal psi dagger gamma zero. Now we know how this guy transforms. This is psi dagger, and I have 1 plus okay, what I did, I know how psi is transformed. Then I know how psi dagger transformed with this lambda dagger. And infinitesimal lambda dagger 1/2 gives me this term. I only keep now up to first order in omega term. Right? So, but here I got this guy, dagger. Okay, now let us show that this we will get what we need. When we put gamma zero through S menu dagger, we will get this psi dagger, gamma zero, 1 plus I over 2 M mu nu S mu nu. So gamma zero will kill this sine dagger here. And this is, this will be important. This will means exactly this infinitesimal form, because this sine plus usual S means that this is lambda to the minus 1, because in lambda we have lambda 1/2, we have minus. Okay, let's show that this take place. So first of all, consider two types of this generator. Rotational ij, they are, of course, Hermitian, first of all. And also we have this, that S I J gamma zero actually commutes with gamma zero. Look this, I over two, this is commutator, gamma zero. But look, our Dirac algebra tells us this equation one, right? Equation one tells us that gamma zero, gamma I anti-commutes, because in this case we have zero, right? Anti-commute. But because we have two, this guy, gamma zero, commutes with this commutator. So we have that this guy equal gamma zero Sij. Now let's consider S zero I. This is boost. In this case, it's anti-Hermitian. So this guy is minus, right? Because this imaginary I in front of sigma matrices we roll. But now let's calculate S zero I gamma zero. This is the same I over two, gamma zero, gamma I, gamma zero. But look, gamma zero commutes with itself, of course, but anti-commutes with gamma I from Dirac algebra. So it anti-commutes in this case. We have minus in the case of boost. Now we have minus one, minus two, they cancel. So what we have from these two lines, we have what we want. There, in this case, we can say that S mu nu Hermitian gamma zero is gamma zero S mu nu. This is what we need. When we just move gamma zero through S mu nu dagger, we get gamma zero on left, and not S mu nu dagger, but S mu nu itself. This is exactly what I have, and this is, one can say, this is infinitesimal form. This is psi bar, and this is lambda 1 half minus 1. Of course, I have higher terms in general case, omega square and so on, but it's enough in algebra. If you prove something for infinitesimal stuff, it works. Okay, so we proved with you this stuff. So this is 3. And then it's, so it means that indeed then psi bar psi, which is, as you said correctly, trace, you can say that. Is scalar. So this is famous psi bar field. Now we can write out Dirac. Okay. So gamma mu, d mu, we know it's a good stuff, it's scalar because of properties of gamma mu under Lorentz transformation, what we already used in proving that this equation is Lorentz invariant. And then we have M. So psi bar I gamma mu d mu psi, psi bar is psi dagger gamma z. Okay, I even don't remember how many times I, in my life already long, sort of, I said psi bar. Because it's really psi bar, you say. Okay, we take this and psi bar. So this psi bar is very important member of Dirac family. So psi and psi bar. So it's clear why. It has very good transformation property. So this is crucial. Psi bar under Lorentz transformation transform like that. Lambda to the minus one. So it's very important stuff. Okay, now when we have this Dirac, of course we could write Dirac equation by using Euler Lagrange equation, right? We have two equations because two fields, psi, psi bar. Chair. Yes, exactly what we wrote in the case of Klein-Gordon. This is universal Euler-Lagrange equation for any Lagrangian density. So if you consider variation for psi bar, it means that you consider variation psi bar. Check that it gives you exactly usual Dirac equation. And this Euler Lagrange equation for psi. So when I consider variation psi, leads to the following equation for psi bar. Just check. There will be some integration by parts. A kind of to derive. Anyway, you will get it easily. It's important, you see, in this equation, gamma mu is on the right of psi bar. Because if psi is column, psi, this guy, bar, is actually row, right? So you have this. Because I use psi bar is psi dagger. Psi dagger, of course, from column, I get row psi 4 because of that, gamma mu is on the right. Okay, so maybe I could now stop here. It's 12. Now, concerning this, I got from some students question concerning project. You know, okay, you should not be afraid of project. Maybe actually what I said from the very beginning, that it's 20%, maybe it's too much. We could change this. We can use, in principle, different forms. For example, maybe even today, I already asked Chris. Chris is just my student, so it was easier to do this. For example, prepare some part, say 15 minutes talk from this section, Klein-Gordon. It's called creation of particles by external field, right? Something like that. This is very last chapter or section in that chapter, Klein-Gordon. So for example, each of you could make some presentation, say two times or three times, we will fix, right? Some stuff, just I ask. I have already other things from the book, okay? And maybe it will be enough, and then it will be not 20%, but I don't know, maybe 10%. we point is that you see I teach this first time, this stuff. So it's kind of we should be flexible concerning this. Let us look how it will work. You know. So maybe even today I give Chris 15 minutes and he will present the short, very short stuff from the book. Okay? So will it work for you in general? You could even pick up something you like and say to me, I want to discuss this stuff. Okay? Something like that. So let's be reasonable and flexible. Okay? So I believe it should work, right? No more question concerning this. And then it will be, say, 10%. But on the other hand, if you want to do something in the very end, to present something, it's also, it will work. Like project. It's up to you. Okay? So let's be like that. If you agree with that, then we assume that it will work. Okay, guys, so also maybe actually I will come in this class, maybe it will be good for you, 13 minutes at 3 o'clock. And some of you, if you have questions to me, you could come and we could discuss. Okay, so at 3 o'clock I will be here. And it's like office hour. Okay, 30 minutes, you could come if you want. Right.
Sign this.
Sure.